Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Android Central podcast. My name is Daniel Bader, and we are recording this on April 15th, 2020. Joining me this week, Andrew Martinick. Welcome back for a second time. How are you doing?
Second time in 2 days.
Yeah, and the reason we are doing so many podcasts this week is we're very pleased to have Kyle Jung, the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer of OnePlus with us. How are you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys. Good to connect.
Yeah, we're trying round two because we're having some connection issues. So hopefully this sticks around. But congrats on the launch. It was probably a really, really busy day yesterday. How did it go from your perspective?
Busy. I mean, obviously, you know, a little bit of unique times for us launching, but I think the responses we've gotten from our users, people a little bit more familiar with OnePlus, have all been really positive. So we're excited.
So give us some of the inside baseball of how you launched a product virtually for the first time, even though there was a physical event, there were just no people at it or no press at it. What were the machinations of coordinating that? And, you know, was there anything you learned from that you could bring to future, perhaps in-person events?
So it's funny, we've actually done some digital launches before in the past. So it wasn't our first time kind of doing one, but obviously it obviously made sense, you know, this time. I think, you know, what we didn't change a lot was probably the content. I think what the last couple of weeks has shown is people are still super interested in technology, and especially at this time right now, the need for kind of, you know, technology is maybe even more important. So, you know, I think the response we got yesterday was pretty good.
And the fact that you've run, you know, multiple in-person and virtual events, things like this before, really came out in the production value, because the, you know, the multi-camera shoot and everything, like everything from my perspective seemed to go off without a hitch, and it looked really good and it flowed really well. I'm sure it was, you know, it's difficult to keep up the energy and, you know, when there's nobody else in the room, but just, you know, the camera people, but it came off really well, I think.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I think the team did a good job. And again, you know, we still, you know, we're different than most companies where our focus is pretty much on the product and, you know, that content's, you know, comes through pretty well, you know, so I think people have responded well to it so far.
So I want to jump into something that, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday on our show about how this launch is in particular important for OnePlus, because it's the first time that OnePlus is selling a phone on Verizon in the US. And, you know, you've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years growing those relationships. You launched the OnePlus 7 series with T-Mobile. Most recently, the McLaren edition of the OnePlus 7T Pro. It was a 5G phone. It had racing stripes. It was beautiful. Talk about the expansion of carrier relationships in the US and the importance of those, especially given the fact that, you know, so many people have associated OnePlus over the years with being an unlocked phone that you can only buy from OnePlus.com.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny as I look back over the launches over the last 5 years, you know, and you guys are pretty familiar, you know, with kind of OnePlus's evolution. You know, the last 2 years, you know, partnerships with carriers and T-Mobile over the last 2 years has been kind of a big step for us. It's funny, probably around OnePlus 3, you know, was a time period when we were wondering if users in the US would kind of change their purchase habit and would they be willing to kind of buy unlocked devices, because that's really how the purchase process works in the rest of the world. And, you know, we were obviously kind of curious that would happen, but that didn't kind of be the case. That didn't really prove to be the case where, you know, I think users still in the United States primarily feel comfortable getting their devices from a carrier. And so for us to, you know, be able to reach more users, that was a necessary step for us. Obviously, you guys know in 2018, you know, we launched with T-Mobile, and that was great because I think there's a lot of, you know, there was a lot of connection between our companies, and that relationship is great so far. And we look forward to continuing to grow. Yesterday was obviously a big day with Verizon, because, you know, obviously it makes our devices available to probably about 200 people in the US. And I think especially with 5G, it's a good time for us, because the jump to 5G requires, you know, great technology. And that's why I think, you know, in the past, users have been supportive and have liked OnePlus. And it's also a reason why I think partners have been attracted for us based on our approach.
And it seems it is really good to see that. I mean, obviously, we don't have the 8 and the 8 Pro both coming to all carriers or something, like, you know, it's not a like a massive level, but you can't just jump there immediately. This is like a huge step, though, to have multiple carriers with the, you know, quote unquote same phone coming out at, you know, roughly the same time, similar pricing, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's I think people that normally just go to OnePlus.com and buy the phone don't really realize how big of a deal that is to be able to launch that and not have to make a bunch of crazy concessions, or like we saw last year with you know, separate 5G versions of the phone. Like, getting in on the first level where we're just now seeing, you know, Samsung you know, launch all of their phones as 5G phones, you're doing the same and it's not taking you an extra year. And that's definitely a step up from the way OnePlus has operated in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we've changed, and obviously we've had to mature as a company and build additional infrastructure resources to support partners, which has been, you know, something we've been, you know, putting a lot of effort in over the last year. But at the same time, and one thing we've heard from kind of everybody that's worked with us is they don't want us to change too much. And so I think we've kind of kept the focused approach, focus on products, you know, that are flagship, and not change too much. So I think we found a healthy balance to kind of keep what are the most important things about OnePlus while, you know, maturing as a company in order to basically reach more people.
You know, we all discovered yesterday that the OnePlus 8 is the only phone, at least for now, that will be available at US carriers. And it is a bit of a different product than the unlocked version. Notably, it is IP68 certified. The one that's going to Verizon will have millimeter wave 5G, but not sub 6. So there are a few idiosyncrasies that I'd love you to dig into if you can, about just navigating the complex realities of selling at a carrier in 2020, especially when you have committed to supporting 5G across the board, but the 5G reality is very different for every carrier right now.
Yeah, and I think there are some differences, obviously, there. You know, I think with them, our focus has been, you know, what's the right product that makes sense for our partners, and, you know, we let them kind of guide, you know, that process. Obviously, 5G is a big step this year, I think, where, you know, I think everybody is kind of taking a step forward in maturity. Consumers are starting to learn more. And I think even though there are some differences, I think what's more important is probably the things that are the same, you know, same product, same overall, you know, design, same approach on everything, same software. You know, so I think it's the consistency, I think, is probably what's more important than maybe some small differences.
Yeah. And I'd love to know the reason, if you can tell us, that the Pro is going to be sort of exclusive unlocked at the moment, whereas the smaller and cheaper OnePlus 8 is going to the carriers. Can you walk us through some of that decision making?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something about choice. Where obviously the Pro is intended to be a flagship for people that want the very best. Obviously, you can get it from us, you can get it from Amazon.com, but it is compatible with all the major US carriers. So, you know, for someone that wants that experience, you know, they can take it to their wireless partner and still use it. Obviously, the 8 is going to be available from both T-Mobile and Verizon, and comes with kind of everything that comes with that in terms of support, both of their organizations, which I think are great in terms of providing service to users, aftercare, everything that comes with that. So I think for us, it's more about like choice, you know, and I think we've provided enough, and the feedback we've gotten is that users appreciated the steps we've taken to kind of provide them the choices that they've really been asking from us, you know, over the years.
Yeah, one of those big pieces of choice is being able to buy from Amazon in the US. I think that's going to be a big deal for a lot of people. And also having, you know, having the phone just go up for pre-order immediately after it's available. Like, those kind of things are very OnePlus-like, and there are definitely going to be a lot of the biggest fans who are going to love the 8 Pro and everything it has to offer. Like, those are going to be the people that want to buy it unlocked anyway, I think. Whereas there's really more of that mass market appeal in the 8 in general.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, where it's, you know, the people that have been closest to OnePlus, tech enthusiasts, you know, we're still providing kind of all the opportunities and, you know, access to OnePlus products, you know, right away, from us, from Amazon.com, you know, and getting the best, you know, best flight shift from us. At the same time, you know, some of our users have told us they want, you know, choices, and that was kind of the rationale for 8. And like you guys kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, being able to provide it to the two biggest carriers in the U.S. Provides, you know, another level of choice for consumers, especially those that are maybe a little bit newer to OnePlus, where being able to get it, you know, from a carrier directly and everything that comes with that from a positive standpoint, you know, after sales, promotional support, all those things, you know, I think are just kind of the theme for us of giving consumers more choice.
As before we move away from the carrier conversation, I'd love to know any sort of insight that you gleaned from working with T-Mobile during its Sprint acquisition, because you must have seen things from the inside that we're not really privy to. You know, what was that like working with the company, knowing that that April 1st date was going to pass, that acquisition was likely going to go through, and your OnePlus 8 Pro or OnePlus 8 rather would be compatible immediately with both of those networks that, you know, once combined would be a significantly different and you know, much better proposition for most consumers from a cellular standpoint than either network on their own.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was a long time in the works. You know, I think T-Mobile, there was obviously a church and state situation there where they couldn't, you know, speak to, you know, what would happen until after the deal became official. But, you know, with an eye towards the future, obviously the intention was to make sure that the aid, you know, would cover the new T-Mobile from a spectrum standpoint. So obviously that it would cover the low and mid bands. So, you know, that's the exposure we had to it. And I think actually, ironically, that's probably the visibility that most of the employees of the T-Mobile had, minus the ones that were probably working on the integration itself.
Last question, because I'm obsessed with 5G for some reason. Is there any, like, you know, Samsung's released its Galaxy S20 series, the S20 Plus and S20 Ultra have millimeter wave and sub 6 in the same phone. So it's basically the same SKU across all of the carriers. Was there a price related reason or a technical related reason that the 8 did not have both in it, or either the, you know, the 8 or 8 Pro, or was it just, you know, it didn't seem necessary to include millimeter wave at this point?
So the 8 has millimeter wave support and sub 6 support for Verizon's network, and you know, that's the product that, you know, we delivered for them for this partnership.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. All right, let's shift away a little bit and talk about the phones. So clearly these are massive upgrades, and it's, you know, the features that are on the 8 Pro, wireless charging, IP68 certification, much bigger battery, 5G, huge cameras. They come at an increased cost, obviously, and that's been reflected in the price of the phone. You know, I've spoken to you a little bit about the shift in the message around the 8 Pro versus the 8 being, you know, the 8 Pro being ultra premium and really trying to compete with the high end of the market. Can you talk a little bit about the thought process behind that change and how you think that will impact the way that people approach OnePlus phones, especially given the fact that, you know, the flagship killer has been the tagline for years, but now the flagship is the same price as many of the others out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a big theme that people that follow OnePlus are super interested in. I think it's funny because it's like flagship killer, you know, from a while ago, something that really stays locked in people's minds. And I think we've always kind of really cherished being a challenger, you know, and kind of challenging the industry. And it's funny, like 5 years ago, OnePlus was, you know, a much smaller company, you know, doing some certain things. But what really was at the core of it was kind of like making a phone with what we thought was the best user experience. At the time, at our company's maturity level, that meant a certain type of product approach. And obviously, the products were a little bit, you know, probably fit into kind of the clear mid-tier conversation, when obviously maybe the Apples and the Samsungs are making, you know, the best, you know, flagships at a certain price point. We've evolved, but I think what we didn't necessarily evolve was what we thought was the best user experience. Now, to be transparent, we had to build up some of our organizational capability, you know, from an R&D standpoint, from a supply chain standpoint, to grow. But I think that focus on user experience didn't change. All the things that people liked about OnePlus, you know, in terms of user experience, clean software, you know, fast performing devices, that's still kind of there. But as we've grown now, you know, the 8 series is basically, 8 Pro is intended to be the best phone out there, period. And, you know, with really no compromises, no exceptions. And over the last year and a half, we've added a couple of things based on, you know, user feedback and requests of us to really put everything into it that people would want. And I think we've delivered on it. And that's what I think we heard pretty clearly yesterday. And I think that's probably the biggest, you know, for people that have followed this industry, that's what I think is significant from yesterday, where people are saying the 8 Pro is the best phone, period, without anything else to really come with that. And at the same time, that's a device that's still running at maybe a $400, you know, price difference that was competing against. And so I think that philosophy of OnePlus in terms of still having a, you know, a better overall value despite delivering the best devices there. As you guys said before, the 8 is intended to kind of give people choice who maybe don't want as large of a device, who maybe don't want every single thing, but want like a core great experience, core great, you know, great, you know, flagship phone. So I think it's really about kind of evolving the original philosophy and growing as a company and offering people more choice.
Yeah, that's a very interesting explanation and one that I wish that a lot more people would start to understand as, you know, we see OnePlus go into this higher price bracket, that it's not a difference in philosophy. It seems like it's very much like a lot of the philosophies and the core tenets of what made OnePlus phones good all along is just being applied to what can be done with the resources and the development that comes with making a super top-end phone with no restrictions. And that's why you still have a lot of the great stuff in terms of specs and performance and the clean software, everything like that is still available, which is really cool. You didn't give that up and try like a different way of building a phone just because it's more expensive.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, where it's kind of an evolution, right? And I think what's important to note is the people that joined kind of, you know, the OnePlus movement originally and bought ones, they're still here, you know? So I think, you know, I assure you our loyalty rate's higher than anybody else. So I think it's been an evolution, but I think the things that were really, really important, we stayed pretty close to, because we figured once you lose that, it's not just what the brand doesn't stand for anything anymore. It means you're not as close to, you know, as users.
So I guess that's an interesting point, because we've heard, I mean, look, internet comments are internet comments, but a lot of people are saying that, you know, these phones betray the, you know, the original OnePlus ethos of undercutting the competition by, you know, whatever million percent. But the reality is that, you know, it costs money to make a really good phone these days. I'd love to ask you the decision to put the 865 in both phones. You know, I've asked this basically to every person at every company that I've spoken to, but I'd love to hear your take on it. Qualcomm kind of put OEMs in a bit of a difficult position this year by forcing 5G on the 865, but also ramping up the associated cost. And internally, you know, I've heard that some companies had to grapple with that decision. Do we stick with a 765 or 765G and risk that sort of visibility issue of not having the best Qualcomm chip in our phone, or do we put that best Qualcomm chip in the phone and raise the cost, you know, associated with the phone? Can you talk a little bit about that process, if there was one, or was it always, we're going with the 865, it doesn't matter the cost, and we're going to increase the price accordingly?
I mean, we've always been consistent where we've always wanted, you know, our Qualcomm partnership has been key to kind of our growth, and having the best, newest platforms always been, you know, through all our devices, has always been a theme of importance to kind of drive performance. And so I think for us, that was the right choice for these products, especially with an eye towards 5G and, you know, wanting to be, you know, leaders in the way I think we've been over the last year and a half. So I think it was pretty consistent with our approach in the past. And, you know, if we go back through the history of OnePlus devices, you know, having the best kind of platform, you know, having Qualcomm's best platform has been always kind of a key part of the product philosophy.
So wireless charging, obviously a big deal. We knew that fast charging was part of that OnePlus brand all the way back when Dash Charge / Warp Charge changed or happened. Now we're at 30 watts, which is the fastest that any phone charges in the US, except for the Galaxy S20 or Note 10, which is 45 watts. But we've done tests to prove that 45 and 25 watts are very, you know, the difference is negligible. Talk about bringing over 30 watt wireless charging to a device that hasn't had wireless charging before, and the sort of the difficulty in branding it, given that it only works on OnePlus's proprietary charger.
Yeah, and I think it's been interesting because it's, you know, as you guys know, for the last couple years, you know, wireless charging has been something that people have been asking for, and our philosophy has always been like, we're not going to add it if it doesn't provide the experience that we want from a charging standpoint. And this was kind of the bar that we were always going to hold ourselves to before we added it. Because the one thing we always looked at was, we asked people like, what's the most important thing in charging? Is it charging quickly, or is it being able to put it on a pad? And sometimes there are some times when you have to make some choices, but that was always like the thing we held ourselves to. So once the technology was there to kind of provide that experience, and you guys kind of commented on it, where you can charge your device in a time period that's quick, right? Like, I wouldn't ever want to go back to a situation where I've got to wait multiple hours to, you know, charge a device. And so I think that was always the thing we held ourselves to. So we're, you know, now that we were able to develop the technology, the timing is right for us.
I think that's the important thing. I would have been, and I think a lot of people would have been very disappointed to see, you know, this talk for years about like, we're waiting till we can do it the way, you know, we see like this benchmark of speed, and we're waiting. And then to see you just like cave and put normal 9-watt wireless charging in there, that would have been a massive disappointment. But to wait this long and then it comes out and it's like, it blows everything else away, and it's almost exactly the same speed as wired charging. It's like, okay, they held by their word, and yes, you have to buy their own charger, but look at what you get in return. It's not like just another line item tossed on there, which kind of gets back to our previous discussion of, just because it's a more expensive phone doesn't mean you're doing things different from the old OnePlus way. Like, this is a very OnePlus type of thing to do.
Yeah, and I think the thing that we always should be held accountable for is, if we put something new in a device, and if it increases the cost of the device, is it like worth it? And is it like legitimately increase the user experience? If we're ever doing something where we add something and it's not like delivering something that's better from an experience standpoint, then we probably made a mistake. And I think that's like the test that we're trying to always hold ourselves to.
So back at CES, when we were all allowed to be in the same room, Pete went on stage and introduced.
Seems like a long time ago.
It feels like a year ago, but it was only three months ago. Pete went on stage and talked about the OnePlus Concept One with its electronic CMF design and electrochromic glass, and hinted that it may come to a future OnePlus phone released publicly. Do you think that that will inform future OnePlus phones at all? Can you give us a bit more insight now that the 8s have been announced without electrochromic glass or any materials like that? Or is this still something that's kind of pie in the sky for you?
It's not pie in the sky. It's not pie in the sky because we wouldn't spend R&D time on it if it wasn't something that we legitimately thought could come in the future. And that was the reason we showed it, where it was kind of a glimpse of what we thought was going to happen in the future. But I can assure you, we wouldn't spend time on it if there wasn't a legitimate desire to look at this in a serious way. I got a lot of questions in Vegas about, would we see this on the 8? And I think we were clear that it wasn't going to be in the near term. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not necessarily 2020, but I can assure you, we would not be working on it if it wasn't something we envisioned being on the roadmap down the road.
So the reason I bring up Vegas is, you know, the OnePlus Concept One was beautiful, but one of the audience questions that was asked stuck with me, and it was a very pointed question to Pete about cameras and about the approach that OnePlus has towards cameras. And he basically promised that the OnePlus 8 would bring the quality of OnePlus phones to the same level as the rest of the industry. We're talking Google, Apple, Samsung, Huawei. You know, that the OnePlus 8 series would have a camera of comparable quality. Can you talk about the decisions that went into that, especially on the OnePlus 8 Pro, and whether you think you've reached it from a hardware and a software perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I realize this has always been a question for OnePlus, you know, from a resources, time, investment standpoint, you know, to develop a camera that basically matched the best phones out there. It's a pretty high bar in terms of kind of like the R&D stuff that goes in there, the sensors, everything, the software. This is one where I'll probably leave it to the industry to say how we did. But my takeaway from yesterday is the Pro confirmed that OnePlus is making a smartphone camera that is as good as everybody.
The OnePlus, as it's grown, has had to cater to so many different markets. This is a problem that every major OEM has had. But, you know, OnePlus has to contend with the fact that it's massive in India, where they may want a different type of phone than they do in Europe, than they do in North America. I know that you have different SKUs based on different regions for cellular reasons, but when designing a phone that needs to be broadly appealing, how do you match that intent, especially now that the phone is available on two of the three US carriers?
Yes, I think this is a good question. And I think this is the answer to this question is one of the reasons we've been successful is despite the fact that, you know, we've, you know, have users in different markets, the product approach has been pretty uniform in terms of making a product that matches the user desired user experience of what's common between them. And I think the way OnePlus started in terms of making kind of a device for a tech enthusiast in the US was kind of has been and continues to be kind of the true north of the consumer and the product we make. And but that what that user cares about is kind of the same thing that the same person cares about in London and is literally the same thing that a user cares about in Mumbai or Delhi, India, where, you know, it's what's common that's actually, I think, allowed us to be successful because we haven't had to make that. Our SKUs are basically the same minus the bands, essentially. And that's really the only difference between the devices, you know, in our history. So I think that's actually allowed us to be successful with being a smaller company, a little bit less resources. The common approach, I think, is what's made us successful.
And I think keeping the products lineup and the product mix relatively, you know, streamlined. Obviously, 2019 had quite a few different models with this, you know, initial rollout of 5G and the McLaren edition, things like that. But that was really an aberration compared to, you know, what we're seeing this year and what we've seen historically from OnePlus, where it's like, yeah, there's one phone or two phones, and you know, they still manage to address the needs of a wide range of people. Of course, within that, you know, kind of tech enthusiast segment to start with. I mean, do you see that? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you see that as a strength considering how well it's worked, but do you also see a little more room for expansion now that you do have this wider price range that people, you know, are reacting generally positively to in terms of the value it provides?
Yeah, I mean, I think the core principles are obviously, you know, providing a little bit of choice for users who have asked for it, and then providing the best user experience. You know, we've been focused on flagship, and I think those things will be consistent. But I think we're willing to do things potentially in the future where we deliver the same user experience, you know, and the things that are at the core that are most important. But, you know, the 8 series has been what we've been focused on and you know, what our plans are right now.
Well, Kyle, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today through some connection issues and just some very busy times for OnePlus in general. And thanks again and good luck. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
No, thanks for the time today, guys.